Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dicewise Entertainment Presents. Thanks to Twitch TV here at Dark Galaxies Gaming, we are streaming live and recording for YouTube and for podcasting and for Rollmongers Podcast Actual Play Network, and the list goes on. Welcome to the show for Age of Ashes Pathfinder 2nd Edition. Tonight, my co-host and trigger man, Mr. Rob Hammond, is in the house. Mr. Rob Hammond is muted, but in the house. Okay. Speaking of the world of tech, we have the man who's read the core book. Well, maybe not all of it, but more than myself. Mr. Joe Gibson is in the house giving aid.
Hello, hello.
He's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yep.
Let's go.
Going around our cast of players, we have Ryan Messina is late to the scene, but he will be along promptly because... Well, first on the scene, he's the closest thing we have to a rogue, so that dwarven monk is actually scouting perimeter, the players have decided, they tell me. Leading our merry band, a combination of three dwarves and one halfling female cleric. So we'll start with ladies first. We have executive producer to Dicewise Entertainment, Cheryl Ball.
Hello, everyone.
And at the top of the merry dwarven band, we have the charismatic and overdramatic dwarven sorcerer, Matt Witt.
Good evening, folks.
Playing Albrick Stonechugger. Next, the man with the plan, the guy that takes action before thinking twice about it, Theowyn, played by Mr. Frank Hamilton tonight.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad you could join us tonight.
And dwarf number three, as I said, is running the perimeter. Yeah, you know, sure, that's what he's doing. So, guys, let's pull up a map because... Oh, also, I'd like to thank our sponsors, plural... Matt, we got a new sponsor.
What?
That sounds like episode one. Oh, we've not gone back in time. You were not in episode one. First of all, of course, shout out to the guy that made this all happen for us, Corey Thomas at Dark Galaxies Gaming, where we are streaming live right now, and acting as our proxy and reaching out to the fine folks at Fantasy Grounds, whose platform we are discovering is such a delight to use, so much fun, a little bit over our heads, but we are rapidly learning and having a good time doing it. Don't roll dice unless I say so. Stop that. Your name is attached to dice roll there, Frank. No, I think he's trying Busted. To... He's showing the fun. He's showing the fun. And a very special shout out to someone who I am actually a fan of this guy's work. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with Pogs. They are the standard for a miniature on a virtual tabletop. And there's neat programs where you can make your own and you have that glorious headshot. And it bounces around the screen. That's cool. But most maps have a bird-eye view, artistic, somewhat cartoony, top-down view. And this gentleman, Mr. Devin Knight, I would like to thank for sponsoring us and loaning us all of his miniature collection, as it were. Now, you can buy Devin Knight's work through Roll20, as well as through Fantasy Grounds, as well as his own website. If you type in Devin Knight, as in nighttime, N-I-G-H-T, not night as in ha-ha! That kind of night. I will drop some links in the description below. If you're listening to this later on YouTube or listening on our podcast, you will find his links there. A very, very cool artist that has all kinds of monsters and heroic adventurers, a top-down view. And you could, you know, you can match your hair color of your mini to whatever artwork you've chosen. You can turn them around and they actually face. Love this guy's work. I've been using him since day one, before we even started podcasting, when we first discovered some of these platforms online, playing with Ryan and Matt online when we got out of the basement. We discovered the fine work of Devin Knight. So shout out to our new sponsor, Devin Knight. Thanking the people of Fantasy Grounds. And as always, Corey, if you're listening, I really hope it says Pathfinder 2E on your channel and not something else, because this boy keeps rattling his chain. So welcome, one and all, to Dicewise Entertainment Presents Hell Knight Hill, Pathfinder 2nd Edition Age of Ash campaign. And we have a little splat up here showing you, so you always know what we're playing on the left here. And here you are. Here we are at episode 4, ladies and gentlemen, and you are outside the front door. Now, I believe, Albrick, you had Warble Bumble Brasher that we have already met. Asked her to come along. And she said yes.
Because I'm incredibly clever.
And she's incredibly worried about her clan, which apparently have been sending the smoke signals, the red smoke signals, which was the last thing I mentioned last episode. Yes, gentlemen, sure enough, in the tallest upper, you know, parapet, there's the wafting of red smoke. So, assuming that Miros has sort of, you know, did the nod and jetted off to the north and is doing that long perimeter round just to make sure, you know, you're doing the scout out, that leaves us five on the hill. The NPC Warble, who I believe I should stay here, and I will look after your gear and horses and make camp by, you know, some basic survival. Now, in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, there's a skill set, and it's like a subset, and it's not called Sublime. Help me out here, Joe. It's called Sustain?
Yes, you are correct. Yes. On your second.
Right, so sustain, and you make your survival check if you're in the outdoors, you make your social check if you're in the city, and you can maintain and sustain your person, as in shelter, food, basic necessities for a certain amount of time. But we just got here. But this is what she's offering to do for you guys, so you don't have to make those rolls. She can make camp, she can keep the camp, and you guys can do little forays in and out of the dungeon, that sort of thing. That leaves us Theoin, Albrecht, and the young priestess of Desna, the halfling cleric, Mara, and old Dulgrin. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question that everyone wants to know, as I pull up the actual map of the Citadel itself, what do you do?
Da, 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 da.
No, really, what do you do?
Well, I think as soon as we see the map, we'll give it a gander. We'll go from there.
Well, here.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
I mean, is there anything? Here is the actual image.
I move immediately to the part of the wall with the S partially slashed through on the DM side.
You cannot see my map that I see. I have a player's map for that, hiding that. Oh, did I just admit that there's an S? Screw you. Jesus, Frank.
I got a 20 on me. Be perception check. You're not hiding anything from me.
Well, it's a little bit clouded, but I have a fog of war covering the interior of the map, and I will reveal it, pull back the curtain as the players get closer and closer. Just kind of sorting, doing some quick DMing stuff here about, you know, like, oh, do I have this in my person? Do you guys double check your gear?
Oh, that's anyway. Kind of what I'm just making sure I've gotten.
You're looking through it, but you have any questions for the DM?
Not right now. No.
Not right now, really? You can't stall some airtime for me while I'm dicking around with this guy? No, thank you.
No, I was like, oh, make sure we got some torches. It might be dark in there, but we're dwarves.
Everybody has dark vision. Do they actually speaking again of the core rulebook, because, you know, we do have a commitment here to slow our roll and teach and learn as we go, Joe. Dwarves.
Yes.
Let's talk about dark vision and dwarves and halfling and low light vision and the differences, or should say, sorry, we don't dare compare to first edition. Nothing wrong with first edition. It's fine. It's awesome. How have they decided to explain and use dark vision, low light vision, and human vision? Could you enlighten us?
Sure. For the basics of dark vision now is, like almost all the other versions of dark vision, is black and white. You get no color, but you can see in darkness up to however many feet based on your character. Low light vision is, once again, falls along the same that it has for almost every other system, allowing you to view things in low light, i.e. like moonlight or lack of sunlight-ish areas, up to a certain feet. And that's about it. And then normal vision. So normal vision. You can see. If it's dark, you can't see. You have a light source, you can see out to the end of the light source. So like a torch, 30 feet or 20 feet, anything like that. Have I chewed up enough time now?
No, yeah. Yes, and to be professional about it, don't draw attention to what I actually have, the secret that I have you. And we've sent him running off to do a loop, to investigate.
Aye, we sent the young lad to go around and take a look at things.
Well, speaking of age, like, I know you guys go with the haha, all dwarves look alike, but amongst yourselves, obviously Dulgrin is the oldest. I mean, the picture tells you that right off. But could you compare your guys in hundreds of years, or 50 years, or 60 years, you know, whatever, just sort of the human equivalent, so people have an idea?
Oh, well, I'm wee young. I'd be human equivalent of, I don't know, maybe 30, 25 or 30.
Okay. And we've got you, Albert, right here, lit up. And what about you, Theoin?
Well, you know, I'm a spry young lad, not yet jaded by life's events, even though they do call me sometimes the hard-hearted. But I'm about 30 in human years, give or take some.
Okay.
I'm a bit long in the tooth to be starting my adventuring career this late, but hey, you know what? A man's got to earn a living before he sets out on his own, I think.
Dulgrin. I notice you still have a little damage here in the tracker. Did we manage to clean you up? No, that's right. You did some self-healing, which brought you up to the 2 hit point. Okay. Righto. Now,
Dulgrin's age, he's a bit older than everyone in the group, but He didn't start out wanting to be a hero. That came later in life. I'm about 60-ish in human years.
Okay. Well, they have you out here to not just make camp, but as a courtesy, like back at the fire, they just kind of turned to you and went, you know, hey, old man, you were useful. You told stories at the type of thing. Have you guys locked on to the fact that this guy is knowledgeable and knows the whole town and we're dragging him along for information? You got to set him on a hill? Or do you guys want to take him right inside and risk the poor man's life?
Well, I mean, his life's no more valuable than any of ours, but I do know he likes the sound of his own voice so far.
Fair enough.
So that's one vote for yes, Albrecht.
I tend to agree with that myself. I mean, really, he's not that old.
So that's a yes?
Aye.
Okay. I'm assuming that two clansmen, you know, can outvote the third. So Ryan's vote is, Euros' vote is redundant at the moment. I think it's crashing in.
It's acting like common on his chest hair all the time. You know it.
Yeah, that's right. He just wants to look good. Well, actually, if he stands next to an old guy, he might even look better. And last, but of course not least, turning to anyone, the halfling, Lady Cleric.
Do I believe he should come with us?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
We could use his wisdom.
Yep. And his +1 shield bonus that he gives.
Exactly.
If you stand behind him. All right. So, without further ado, cue the DM's first dice drop. Now, yes, I am going to use Fantasy Grounds dice just to show them off. But once in a while, for speed, agility, and because I just picked up these beautiful molten looking, look at that silver and bronze, you know, for the Age of Ash campaign. I buy a set of dice for every module, every campaign that we run. I have one. I have Pathfinder's Mummy's Mask. I have Pathfinder's War for the Crown. I have Pathfinder's... Ooh, what's this red one? Oh, we'll talk about that later. And if they have dice for this, great. But I haven't found any yet. So went on a limb, bought some molten dice, and we have the lovely dice here. Nice orangey red. We'll put in a little bit of dark and silver here. Sort of a burnt crimson, you know, just to reflect the mood. We almost burned some dwarves. Actually, we burned a couple of dwarves. Several people. I'm sorry. Moment of silence for the not council member, but townsfolk that you guys lost, and then tried to haggle your way at the bloody temple that you saved most of the town. I mean, come on.
We didn't lose them. We know exactly where they were left.
Mm. Well,
better than anybody else did.
Let's just say 6-10% is being generous homebrew as opposed to the 5% the adventure might promise you. So, a moment in time, that first whiff, first cave, first, you know, right there at the door. Can I have any kind of lore check that anyone has? Any kind of engineering check? Any kind of social check? You know, as the ominous building looms before you. And as I said, we've got a lovely shot of the actual citadel over here in a side window in our video aspect.
21.
Ooh. Where do you care to start? It's history. An interesting fact. You want to do some enlightening?
How much depth of information is this going to give me? I only know more about architecture than anything else. I don't have lore.
Okay.
Religion.
Well, I can tell you right off that although the walls still loom and this place is very fortified, they have that weathered, cracked, you know what I mean? They're crumbling. A dwarf standing at the door, you can tell it's weathered enough here that certain softer points inside are likely already crumbling. And to scale this wall, the DC is probably higher than normal, even with a rope, because you could be planting your foot on this wall and some of the mortar can give, like, you know, the face of a brick can just peel right off. And you could end up doing that sort of face plant, you know.
I don't think we'll be climbing this one. We should go straight in.
Mm.
Is there any religious implications for this building? I got a knowledge of religion.
The Order of the Nail, their entire order, the actual Hell Knights, are based around sidecar to the religion, the dark religion of Asmodeus. Not demon, but devil. A lawful evil. Devils in the fine print, sign the contract, you know, that kind of outlook. And the legions of hell, the way they're organized, the armies of hell, were made known to the Chilaxian people through worship of Asmodeus. And they decided to make their own elite knights based on this sort of structure. So they all venerate and respect this sort of law of evil of Asmodeus. And then each Hell Knight has an order, and the Order of the Nail, which presided here, they were sort of the chaotic good fey wildness that's encroaching on civilization. They were there to be the last barrier, or the first vanguard, to beat it back. And I'm not talking about just cutting down a bunch of trees. I'm talking about, you know, keeping a satyr population under control, and the civilians never need to know.
The fairy hunters.
Something like that. Yeah, very close. Anyway, it's not like a xenophobic kind of thing. Like I said, it all borders on this law, might makes right, and evil tenets, all going back to the religion of Asmodeus. So I know it seems like I'm stretching a bit here, but when the Hell Knights hang their banner, okay, worship happens within in the structure of some kind. Clerics of Asmodeus follow Hell Knights. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There is likely an altar in here to Asmodeus. So the place automatically has a bit of an ominous or a dark feel to it. Elbrick, Stonechucker.
Aye.
With your religion of 9?
I know nothing.
No, it's what I said, but a very, you know, not very specific. Hell Knights equals the devil equals place is bad. Best to clean it out. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Mara.
Yes?
You've got a Lore of Dahak skill check lit up here.
Yes.
Now, Dahak is an actual demonic dragon god of ancient times. We're going back, let's thousands of years. And he's one of those suckers that like really can't sort of come over, would have to sort of avatar his way over, that type of thing. But this being is formed in the image, is an actual dragon itself. It's a dragon god. It perceives itself to be draconic, and it is all about a great big fiery storm of destruction, wreaking havoc on the other god's plaything, which is Galorian. This being would love nothing else. And it's not the Ragagog thing where it's like, I will just crush the planet and there'll be nothing left. This draconic god loves the sort of scorching line. Last two episodes of Game of Thrones just revels in the chaos and destruction and this sort of, and the fire starts at the top and I will watch it burn right to the ground kind of aspect of destruction, as opposed to like a brutal annihilation. You follow me?
Yes.
Does it apply to this structure? Not that you know.
Okay.
But one of the actual backgrounds in the player's guide gives you this lore. Doesn't seem to come into play at a glance.
Okay.
Okay.
You asked for a lore check, so.
Yeah, no, you just dig it up. Yeah. That brings us to another interesting thing in the Pathfinder 2nd edition. They have a recall knowledge. And this is neat because you can use it more on knowledge checks. If you're watching a rogue do awesome backflips across a roof and you have the acrobatic skill trained, you could gauge his skill level with a recall action. Going, wow, that guy is, you know, they do it in anime all the time. Oh my God, he fiercely punched the wall and 3 people on the side of a wall exploded. He must be like, they have a knowledge of what the guy is doing and are that much more amazed of the impact of the guy's skill level because they are trained somewhat in themselves. So for yourself, even if you're actually untrained in knowledge skill, there is a smattering of knowledge. If you're not untrained in medicine, you can do a recall check, ask me for a recall check, and a light DC, or depending on, you know, how we set it up, you can actually have a cursory, oh, blood is coming out. That is bad. Maybe we should try to stop that with pushing pressure, or, you know, that kind of thing. No, even untrained. They don't just sit there going, we don't have a cleric. What do we do? You know, not being trained doesn't mean you don't absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Everyone has sort of a worldly view in this.
A general level of knowledge.
Yeah, which you guys can use with the recall feature, or I want to say skill, but it's not. It's an action that you can, you know, it's set in the beginning skills. And a bit of a change in the rule set that I want to draw attention to. So, with this place looming above you, with Dahlgren talking about the structure's integrity, with Mara musing about her training out of the schools and clergy of Desna, about an interest in a very old, old world demonic draconic god that's related to fire and burning, perhaps the fire that you witnessed and the dreams you're having, just keep this in the forefront of your mind. Theoin, you know Miros can look after himself, and you know he will sniff you guys out, so you don't necessarily have to wait at the front door. What do you guys want to do?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to try to move up to that door and give a listen. Do I notice any signs of activity? Does it look like it's a heavily used door?
Right. So perception all around, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I've already established an episode ago that, you know, the proverbial smoke is wafting off the top.
25.
22.
I got a 23.
Okay. So we can play this two ways. If you guys like, if I ask for a group skill check, I could start at the bottom. And then as we work our way higher up in the numbers, calling out your names, I'll embellish more on said knowledge and try not to meta that, you know, unless you guys instantly just have a policy of like, I tell them, or you might be kind of like, oh, I'll keep that last one to myself, DM, that's up to you guys. But I'm assuming,
in my head, I as you relay, oh, you see tracks of this, you see a broken door handle. That's kind of the character kind of relaying that to the rest of the group.
Yes.
So the lower scores would kind of be shined on and just giving what the higher score. If we have time to relay that information, I think we would.
Sure.
Almost autom-
yep, I can skip to the good stuff unless something, you know, is maybe obviously sensitive and we'll give the player that choice. So with our highest of 22, 23, 25, I mean 18, they're all pretty bunch close together, but those breaching 20, three things are very obvious. First of all, somebody lives here. Now, she told you the Brumblebrasher clan lives here and there's smoke, just like she warned, coming off a top. Second, the best way in is this door. Has it seen use? Yes. However, the entire place and something like an actual attachment, like furniture, a doorway or whatever, really tells the story of how it's fallen into disuse, how it's fallen into disrepair. So, going back one last time, the structure rises from the hilltop. It's a looming structure. It's crumbling stone that you guys would guess from the inside and what the telltale on the outside. And still, it has its imposing battlements. The verdant nature is reclaiming the site. So even though the map is nice and clean with not a lot of grass, like, it is really encroaching. And what do we know about Order of the Nail? They push that crap back. Plants, creatures, you know what I mean? So time is starting to come back. As I said, plumes of smoke, which Ambassador Wardbell believes. And she's like over there on the hill where she left your stuff going... like waving, go in the door, go up to the top, you know, that kind of thing. Rising from the roof of the keep's central tower is plumes of smoke. Obviously, Citadel Alterain, the infamous former home of Order of the Nail Hell Knights, has pretty much fallen into disuse and ruin. The gate-like doors in the center of the keep not only look in disrepair, they actually hang open ajar, Theoin. So even though the map doesn't indicate that they're open, they're just sitting there lying open. Not completely, like a jar is in, like they've popped. There's the proverbial one guy can walk easily through, as opposed to like a wagon or a horse with them being wide open.
What time of day is it? Just out of curiosity.
What time did you guys get up? You guys remember you did the cleric thing, you bedded down, brand new day. Yep. I mean, Rob could even give himself a brand new first thing in the morning medicine check if he wants to clear up those hit points.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, we are brewers and dwarves and drinkers.
Well, what's the distance? How far did we
have to miles.
Really get? 2 miles. Oh, so it's not far at all. No. Okay.
So no, it's in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys start your day at, you know, the 6 to 8. You're here walking 2 miles. It's the 9 to 11 a.m.
6 to 8?
Yeah, you never went to bed. You're up at night all drinking.
No. Gods, that's an unholy hour. It's noon, 2, 3 o'clock.
Right,
nothing interesting happens before 6 p.m.
Okay. Sure. Theoin holding you guys back. You get up at the crack of noon. It's like 2 o'clock.
Fair enough. Boots to the door.
All right.
So we sneak up real sneaky-like, right?
Sure. Let's talk about stealth.
Dwarven stealth.
It's a hidden check now that I get to roll. Watch this. It's so hidden. I'm not even looking down, Frank. These are hidden from me. These rolls are stealthy as all get out. Three conditions. Let's say somebody's watching you. You guys are out in the open at the front door. They saw you coming. You are observed, right? Let's say there's somebody inside listening and can hear you guys talking outside. You are hidden from them. They know you're there, but they can't see you because you have cover. You are considered hidden. Let's say nobody inside has any idea that you guys have arrived. You guys are, Joe, unobserved? I forgot the last one. Undetected.
Yep, there you go.
Undetected.
So you don't even need me, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, we need you, Joe.
Yeah, I might have read a couple things like an hour before we started.
All right, well, if I'm kicking things off, I'm going to start moving forward. Yeah,
go right ahead. You should have control of your minis.
10, 15. I've got my axe out.
All right.
As I move up, do I hear the sound of alert?
Now, you said you want to do the proverbial listen at the door. Okay. So, battered reinforced doors hang ajar from this main entrance to the Citadel Alderaan. Once the headquarters of the Hell Knight Order of the Nail. Above the doorframe, a tarnished seal depicting a sunburst made of nails stands out in relief against the keep's stonework. Under the seal of runes, a worn but clear line of carved text. Frank, can you tell me what language is on the whole that you speak?
Surely. I speak the only two that really count. The common tongue and dwarven.
I will allow a society check or perhaps a religion check at different DCs to say, I'm pretty sure I know what that is. Like, I don't speak Japanese, but I understand Asian caricatures when I see them.
6 feet.
Gobbledygook it is.
7.
6.
Yeah.
Thielen got a 7. That looks like Dirty Goblin to me.
Yeah, maybe.
We all agree, though. That's the best part.
Well, there's something you can agree on. You guys give me an intelligence check. Who built this place? What language would they have scrolled on the front if it's a Hell Knight order?
5.
It says in Celestial, stay away if you have wings, right? That's exactly, you're pretty sure, yeah.
Well, 21 with a natural 20. The bloody language is infernal. I recognize the shape of the top there in the bottom.
Well, that would seem to make sense.
Chillax, you bastards.
Quick, let's move in and make ourselves known.
All right. Sorry, Frank. You asked me a question I had yet to answer because when you get really close and you're just kind of scanning the door, make sure it doesn't fall on you, you notice the letters and you're staring at them and Dahlgren kind of points and, you know, lets you know. What was your initial perception coming in? Or you want to give me a new one?
I think it was 25.
Oh, that's right. You guys were taking it all in. Yeah, right. You want to move stealthily. So I'm going to run off the stealth check I have for you here. You want to slip closer, and I will ask for a perception for something else. What do you got?
20.
If you move the doors, it's obvious that the rust and dents around the door's hinges will make a lot of noise if you shove the door open as opposed to like slipping in.
Okay. Is it wide enough to slip in? You said they were ajar, but I didn't really get a good sense of how wide open they were.
Well, we can go with an acrobatic escape, as opposed to you want to like wiggle in, or like I said, you're just trying to be quiet as not to brush the door and make noise or to push them, you know, the new stealth check. You know, you should be able to come in.
All right. So what I'll do is I'll move up to there. I'll give that door a hard shove, turn back to the guys behind me as the door makes this hellish noise. The door seems to be open.
Okay, which door? South or north?
This one.
The closest one to you on the south there? Okay. All right. So.
What do I see inside said room?
You see 4, 5, several canine-like creatures with rat-like faces, over-incised incisors, lounging about half awake, half asleep. And then all of a sudden, when you jolt a door, you ever do that with a cat and a dog in the room? And they're on the tiles of your... They're in the tiles of your like kitchen. You hear that scrape, scrape, scrape of their claws as they just kind of like you make them sort of flip over.
I'll kind of nod my head knowingly, looking back. Hey, they've got dogs. Ready, my act.
The last skill you used, its number, Albrecht. I believe it was a perception.
Yeah? The last skill I used was perception, and I got a 20.
Okay. Oops. Theowen. Albrecht. Sorry, Al.
Perception 18.
Because you're kind of standing there waiting. Dahlgren,
25. Intelligence, 21.
Okay. Mara?
Religion, 7.
Oh, it's any skill? I thought it was only one from
Well, actually, it should be from the exploration mode list.
Yeah.
But if you're standing there pondering something at the last moment, I would still use your knowledge religion. It's fine.
Okay, well, then it would be an intelligence check of 5 for me.
Yeah, it wasn't actually a skill. You were just kind of like all up in your brain, but that makes sense.
Well, my last perception check was 22.
Okay. Help us out here, Joe. Is it the last, like, book skill you were using in counter mode, or is it just literally the last thing you did, whether I called for, like, intelligence or whichever?
It's the last skill you used.
Yeah. So Mara's religion of 7, because Dahlgren's, everyone's pointing at the words, right?
6 for religion than me, for me.
Okay, yeah, because if you roll it, then it just, that shifts your mental focus to, like, this is what I'm doing now. We'll say Miros is at the bottom with 1, and sorry, Theon, what did you have? Was your last one 20, right?
20.
Yeah. Okay. This has rolled for them. So at 22, the creatures become alert and get up and look, you know, just shocked, disturbed, not impressed that you've made a lot of noise. They don't move, but they do stand, and they just kind of do that low warning growl and hold their positions. But that doesn't necessarily mean you got to fight them. Lots of choices. You could run. You could close a door. If you're a ranger, or even remember how we talked about all the skills overlap now? Anyone can pick a lock? Remember that ranger skill? Nice kitty. Good kitty. Anybody could do that.
Or you could open fire.
Or you can open fire. Kill them all. So I'm setting the round to round one. The old man is definitely putting a slant on this encounter. And I've gone through them.
I pulled and loaded my crossbow.
Okay.
That's two actions, correct? Two
chevrons? One to pull it, one to load it.
And then I'll free action, say, Theoan. I recognize him as the leader, so Theoan.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, a motion with the crossbow, like, are we open fire?
let me try something real quick.
Got enough.
Okay. Theoan, it's actually your go. And Mara, you're on deck. Get ready.
So okay. I think I will...
Just saying. It's so you're, you know, prepping.
I don't know how this works. I don't have animal handling or anything like that, but I'm just going to point at him and shout, sit!
Well, if they're
that's like a kitty fell.
Yeah. Sorry, what would you say there, Frank?
I said if they're like part of the troops' dogs, you know, because this was an inhabited place, they should know some basic commands. I mean, even though we may be, who knows?
We're here to stop the. Sorry, sorry. It's been 2 long years now. It's to save the goblin tribe, not stop the goblin tribe.
You're here to murder. Oh God! I mean, save.
Sorry. Well,
I have no idea how that works.
It's called Command an Animal, Joe.
Yes, and that is on lovely page 249 out of the massive Bible. It's
actually Bible. Under the nature skill.
Yeah, but it you can use it untrained.
Yep.
Okay.
And
that works out well for me so far.
Yeah, right. So once again, it'll just be a nature skill check. And then roll away and see what happens.
Oh, I'm super good at this. Watch. 19.
All 19, right.
My natural dwarven aptitude of +1. I don't know what this will do. Either it'll work or we'll kill them.
You're trying to shift their attitude, which I believe this roll goes against the creature's personal DC.
Yes.
Okay.
Like a low DC is 10, low wisdoms or actions, low creature, you know, we're probably talking 11 to 15 tops. So you kick open the door. They have dogs. Instant reaction, got you covered, load crossbow, back to you. It's your turn. Let me try something. And you just fill the doorway and tell them to sit.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry,
Jeff.
No, go ahead.
Basically, he just needs to, because he's issuing a command,
mm-hmm.
which is what, you know, command animal is, your DC is the animal's will DC. That's what he has to beat.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I get it.
That's if you have a good attitude towards you. If they have an indifferent attitude, then you get to change your DC.
Yeah. So there's, and it's, what is it, by 2 or by 5 every?
2 for every step.
Yeah. So we're either indifferent or hostile. And now just for an example, like, we shouldn't spoil so much, but we are trying to learn. So, like, out of the gate, first creature, okay, this thing has a will of +5. So, with the base of 10, its DC is 15 if it's indifferent. If it's hostile, 17. If it's really pissed and already attacking you, 19. And he basically just, stay, puppy. So, that's Theoan.
But if you want the sub rule on that, you automatically fail if the animal is hostile or unfriendly to you. Period.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Hang on,
I'm pulling this out of the adventure, so it's like the PCs have this interesting chance, and then we're backing it in the core. It's not like I just went off and went, oh, look, there's something you can do in the, you know, the core book or whatever. So don't get all riled up on the Joe blame Jeff train here, guys. You have a shot at this. I mean, you can get +2 if you want to give them food. They are, you can use the command action on them. They are considered indifferent, so, you know. Yep, from hostile to indifferent or indifferent to friendly. And
nice.
You can offer a morsel, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so like you said, it's not, they're not wild creatures. I see what Joe is saying. You know, it's not like they're wild creatures and they're hostile. It's like, this ain't going to happen. Here, bear, take food. And it takes your hand. Like, I get that. That's what he means. These, you took an educated guess. These are probably belong to the Brumble Brasher. They're used to being fed, treated harshly and disciplined. And they just, you know, you suck it up. You command them and they, okay. Mara, it's your go. Albrecht, you're on deck. Miros, tis taking his time. Lady of Desna, what do you want to do?
Yes, I want to move up.
Okay, go right ahead. Do you have control?
I'm trying. Nope.
No? Okay. I'll scoot you along there. You want to come right up to the door?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This door that you're in front of is not open. It gives you cover, but you can kind of peek around. The dwarf is, shall we say, in the doorway to make his presence known, if that's all right, Frank. Just kind of scoot you in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are back here, 5, 10, 15, 20. What do you want to do? Fall in behind him?
Sure.
Do a double move?
I have a speed of 25.
So 25 would put you right behind the dwarf. That's okay. One action. You have two actions left. What do you want to do?
Move.
Okay.
Move. No, tell him to move.
Okay, well, if you wait on him, then you're going to basically burn the round waiting to come back to him. Is there anything else you want to do while standing there besides poking him?
Nope.
Nope. Prep spell, load weapon, anything? Nope. You're good?
Well, I'll get my sling out.
Can she sneak around him?
She can go through him as a friendly. Him? Yeah, she can go through him as a friendly. But like I said, she's interested in just making him move in.
Fair enough.
We don't want to look like the dwarf is offering the halfling as that morsel of food I talked about earlier. Here, eat this. Eat this. You'll be fine. Okay.
But she's so scrumptious.
Yes. Big Al. Al the Sorcerer. Albert Stonechugger. Legendary. Nah, you're not really legendary first level. I'm sorry.
I'll just kind of look back at Dahlgren.
Sorry?
I'll just kind of look back at Dahlgren.
I don't know. Kind of sounds like it worked.
Frightening, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you guys hear the whining, yeah.
Did they sit?
Well, they're half sit, half look. If I had some food, I'd throw it, but I don't have anything in hand right now but me axe.
Okay. So you just want to wait it out there, Al?
I'll move up to the closed door. Take position in beside, peek in a little bit.
Okay. Is that it?
And have a look.
Okay. They are not sitting. However, their heads are really low, their tails are down, and they're just kind of leaned back on their haunches, and they look, you know, wary. But they're not growling anymore. They're kind of whining.
Waiting for something.
Hmm. They've been bad, and they know it. So, Albrecht Miros is on his merry way, and I've got him out in the way, just traveling the world, just doing my job. Da-da-da. So back to them. They back off. You know, they proverbially put the little bit of distance between them and the bad dwarf in the doorway there, bringing us back to Dahlgren with his loaded crossbow and a whole bunch of people crammed in the doorway.
Well, I'm going to go like this, make my way to there.
Okay. Could you, for the podcast and an audio only aspect?
Of course. I'm going to move forward past my cluster of friends and move to the right of the doorway to get a better view of the scene.
Okay. So through the halfling, through the dwarf, taking a step to the right and in. What do we see? Well, since everyone's had the proverbial peak now, we'll just get right into the... Oh, this is interesting. Battered, and I mean several, and I mean very, very battered and rusted, pieces of Hell Knight armor adorn sort of the stick figure stands and line both walls to the north and to the south, even around the arrow slits. You guys see those wide on the inside and narrow on the outside openings you can shoot arrows out of. And we're talking 2, 4, 6, 7 pieces of armor on the left and 7 suits rattered and tattered on the right. 2 doors on the back wall. Where you guys come in, there is sort of a choke bottleneck floor, because on your right and on your left, it's sort of a step up to these platforms, probably to accommodate the archers, just to get them on a higher level so they're not shooting right at ground level.
It's so the blood flips out the door.
Yeah. But this place does not look like it would accommodate horses or anything coming in here, or this could be a place where they could just unload a horse and then take it back out and around, because there's just a man-sized door to the right and a man-sized door to the left, both on the west or back wall. Our creatures, canine creatures, one at the top of the map, one at the bottom, one on the back wall, are just sort of cowering at the moment, looking unsure. Joe, can you talk about identifying a creature using knowledge checks? Does it work the same old way?
Along the same old way? It's just... based on the type of creature is also then relates to the type of skill check.
Okay.
Meaning, so if it's a magical creature, If it's divine in nature, then it's a religion. If it's archaic, then it's arcana.
Yeah. This is a nasty creature, but is naturally occurring, so it would be a nature knowledge check, gentlemen. Recalling if you know what these things are. Logically, goblins, it's a dog, maybe it's a goblin dog. But to know for sure, if anyone
12.
Knows.
Yeah, I got a 4 on my knowledge nature to identify what it is.
Yeah, I mean, kitty. 4. We know the same. Haven't seen too many of these suckers in the mountains.
Yeah, they have a very rat-like looking head with great big huge ratty teeth. It looks like a giant rat head on a dog's body with not a lot of hair on it at all. This does not look like a dog. So you're kind of doubting the, you know, Dahlgren, yes, these are goblin dogs. So, with Dahlgren slipping in, any other actions there, Dahlgren?
No, I'm going to lay in wait.
Okay. Theoin, holding the door.
All right. They look like they've been put in their place.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, these animals are no wild creature. I will, with a free hand, reach back into my, kind of belt pouch, pull out a little bit of trail ration, and throw it off to the corner, kind of away from Dahlgren, towards the knights. Say, you're not such a bad dog. Here. Snack up and fuck off.
I believe that the dwarven term is fook. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Jeff, should your fog of war not let us see a little bit more of the room now?
That is the room.
Well, that's the whole room? Okay.
Hey, see the two doors in the back. Room is...
Yeah.
Oh, there they are.
I'll hang on. Let me just peel the wall a bit. See? There you go.
That's better.
Okay. Sorry, I gave you to the wall as opposed to showing you the depth of the wall with the doors. So there you go.
I won't pretend I know how thick it is.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll give a quick whistle as I throw it.
Hey. Yeah. Okay. So toss the meat. Are you heading in the room? Are you covering the door?
Yeah, take a couple steps in. So
yep.
Not up on what looks to be like a little bit of a raised, I don't want to say dais, where the arms are, but I'll kind of chuck it up onto that thing. Give a little whistle.
Yeah. No, he goes for it.
Okay.
So another one comes right over. Yeah. No, you start throwing food and... Sorry, I shouldn't move them till it's their turn. They could turn on you at any moment. Mara.
come in.
Okay. Where do you want to go? This is good. You could describe for the audio podcast aspect where you want to, this is a good thing. It'll help.
I want to come in against the wall so I can see whether or not there's a water trough or something for these dogs.
Okay, so you want to step in the room. Do you want to climb up onto the platform, left or right?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, bottom left, where he's throwing meat, or the other one?
Right where I am.
You get close to the piece, you get close to the armor, and this is definitely Hell Knight armor, and they are not destroyed, and they are all different, but they all have a similarity in the age, the style, the fashion of whatever time period they're from, and obviously they have certain insignia or carved shoulder pads, so like the order of the nail, blah, blah, blah. Can I have a perception check, though, while you're looking? Mm-hmm. You can't help but notice this gaudy, skull punisher-looking armor. I mean, it's something. Let me show you here. This is the old school.
Oh, cool.
This is the old school
That's
armor.
Cool.
I actually pulled up ye old armor as well as ye new armor, which you'll see soon enough.
Instead of 24.
Okay. There's a shin guard intact on one piece, a gauntlet intact in another piece, salvageable, sellable, assemblable, maybe. But no sign of a water trough up here. Perceiving around and taking note will burn your chevrons. Burn your actions. I shouldn't make up words that are not in that book. I'm allowed to make up words in human language, and I'm allowed to make up words in my story. So there, Joe. But I will not try. We are trying to use the new terminology that is in the new player's handbook. Albrecht, you're up, sir.
Right. So I'll follow suit, head inside, take a stance beside Theoin, and do the same thing he did. Reach into my pack, pull out a bit of trail ration, and I'll chuck it up towards the one to the north.
Okay. Yeah, you guys start waving food about. Two go for his and start fighting over it, and there's, because their turn after yours, Miros is abroad. They just meat snacks. They go right for it.
Sweet.
It barely hits the ground, they're on it. And these little buggers move fast. Quadrupeds. They even might so much as try to move in within their 40-foot move, pick it up, and then back off a bit to eat it. These two are down here fighting with it. Dahlgren.
Yes.
These guys are rookies. They came in, they made a lot of noise. You know, you got a little bit of nice sort of post up on the wall tactic from their leader. And now the sorcerer, taking everything just like we've cleared the room, comes in and stands right in front of you. But buggering any shot you have to overwatch this room.
I am going to move north up onto that little step there.
Okay. Joe, is facing relevant in this game? In this rule set? Or are they just... This is just a fun feature.
It's not really important.
Like, obviously, if he's staring at a wall, it might have a perception check for something coming behind him that the DM can rule. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they haven't...
But for us, the way that we're used to playing, you should still have facing as an important part to get used to.
Yep. Should be. Should be. So you're up on the ledge, around the dog, and close to that one door. What are you doing up there, Dahlgren? Rob?
No, the problem is I usually use the space bar to open it, and I was on the wrong screen because I moved my mini. Say, Owen, you're done playing with your puppies? Can we take a look further in? And I motion with my crossbow towards the door.
Hey, open your door. One thing at a time.
Fair enough. I'll wait on your word.
The word is given. He said, open the door.
I motion again. Dahlgren is not going first.
Oh, I get it. You're up. Okay, you're covering. Oh. I got it. Right, sorry.
I got the crossbow. I got your back.
Anyone?
Albrecht?
I'll drop the turnover order. These things, you know, seem fairly docile.
So just to kind of reiterate, the armors that are up in the corners here,
mm-hmm.
they look like that picture you showed us, because that's pretty sick.
That is pretty sick.
That's something that I pulled off the net that looks like Hell Knight armor, which is officially Hell Knight armor, but it's sort of like a ye old, you know, so I went with the dated looking stuff as opposed to the Punisher looking new stuff.
I was going to say, cause I will be totally be scrounging that if that's what it looks like. Is there usable pieces? Are these like seven sets of plate right there?
14 pieces, 14 suits of full plate that are practically destroyed. If you want to play cobble patch piecemeal, might take you a while, but possibly. Oh, you want to have a, go over and have a perception, have a good look here?
Well, sure. And I'll help him out on that for sure.
Mara wants to find a helmet.
Suggesting... We
Everyone just looks
right
over
now.
At Dahlgren and they're just like, what are you doing, man? We've already even searched the room.
We've already scored our loot. We could bag right now and call it good.
All right. So,
but yeah, I'll move up to... like
describing this picture, okay, there's the old, I want to say conquistador, but it's the full bucket helm, only it's egg-shaped with the big sort of T-cross split to see and breathe through, and it's got fins on the top, and then you always have a helm, the Viking helm that's horned, but there's always the one guy, looks like the bull where the horns are turned down and out and come around to the chin, right? Lots of flanges, almost scale-looking on this black glossary armor, and the entire chest plate is not just a skull, but like it looks like it's filigreed with old rotting teeth. It looks like a lich with a bare nose. You know, it's not the cool Punisher skull. And instead of it being the skull being up in the chest area, it's the teeth are where the belly are. The eyes are like lower than the sort of pecs. And this thing just drips with sort of an old school badassness, as best as I can say. Theo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 24 on my perception check.
Yeah. If somebody leaves you in this room for 10 minutes to an hour, you're going to have yourself a full set of plate mail, minus the helmet this halfling stole.
All right, just saying.
Oh, well, if it's got spikes and stuff on it, I don't want it.
Oh.
And on our way out, we're taking this.
If you Google Hell Knight armor and look for that, like, there's an actual Cheliacs book.
What are you wearing for armor now?
You know, they're all personalized. There isn't a generic type of armor for them, but they all have a very certain aspect that anyone goes, that guy's a Hell Knight, that guy's a Hell Knight. But the armors themselves are very individualized, even way back when.
I'm pretty decently kitted right now. I've got scale mail and a wooden shield. I mean, granted, it's not... coolest plate, but that's why I say we may grab it all the way out.
I'm sorry, did I say plate? I misspoke. I meant full plate.
Yeah, I've got 30 minutes to kill. Quick, get this shit off of me.
No, seriously, like, I would help him with it. For sure I would.
Yeah. No. I'll kid out if we've got time.
Oh my god.
Absolutely.
Take your time. I'll watch the doors.
If something pops through that door, shoot it.
Now, medium armor fits medium creatures, but you're a dwarf. The arms are stockier. So it's like...
Dwarves are medium in this, eh?
Yeah, dwarves are medium. It's medium armor. But you are a dwarf, much stockier and shorter than Bob the 6-foot lean Hell Knight. So you just imagine, like, the chest plate coming, like, also coming down to his thighs, like, serving as the cross piece. You know, he's going to look like a kid in a barrel. Da, 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 you know, he's going to look badass.
It's amazing. But... he's going to be an amazing barrel.
I'm going to look like a little
and a barrel who's going to be so much more willing to go first.
That's right. Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't get that on me. Right now.
Now, the small creature, the halfling with this great big helmet that like sits on your shoulders. Oh, it'd be great. It'd be like
too dark. It's too dark for her.
Yeah. You just imagine a little halfling cleric coming up.
I was looking for a bowl to give the dog some water. And if this isn't going to work, I will create one with prestidigitation.
Oh, okay. You could use a helmet as a bowl.
I'll put water in it.
Like, not even a second thought. There's your dog bowl, and screw this giant horned monstrosity.
Yeah, that's you can get a little bit of water and yep.
Aye, lad, it looks good on you.
You can imagine the next crew that comes through here, the council sends, and they find it's the Owen's helmet. That's all that people do is find helmets. Remember the fire? Remember Maggie found the poor guy's helmet, the lone hero?
No.
Now they're gonna come in here, they're gonna find dogs like licking the brain. They think it's water. It's water, but it looks like you're looking, getting that inside of the dwarven scalp from the helmet, just in there just licking away. How bad does that look? How bad does that look walking in and a bunch of goblin dogs are like licking the inside of a dwarven helmet like every last drop? They left nothing. Oh my god. There's
that's
a picture
brilliant.
For me. Oh. Anyway.
Yes.
I dare say.
So I'll go to the other wall and try and find pieces that'll fit them.
I'm not kidding. It's listed as treasure. Not left slip 10 minutes scrounging around the toppled, dented suits of Hell Knight plate, you can assemble a suit of shoddy full plate that superficially resembles Hell Knight plate. The pieces are mismatched and worn, broken down and worn out. And the style, like I said earlier, is completely outdated. But, you're not fooling any real Hell Knight, obviously.
We're not trying to fool a Hell Knight. We're trying to kit him out in some full plate.
You're a little short for a stormtrooper, aren't you? All right.
Wrong game.
Yeah.
I will give you this, Theon. Okay. It does give you a +2 circumstance bonus on deception to pretend to anybody else that you're a Hell Knight of the Order of the Nail.
Me, I know what I'm doing.
We've returned. Oh my god. Okay. Well, I do have good news. Okay.
Go for it.
Dahlgren, fighting's not always the answer. You guys do get experience points as if you had defeated the goblin dogs in combat. I really like that system where they actually go, by the way, diplomacy can still, get you the win. All right. So,
I'm not like a warmonger or anything. I was just watching
your backs. No. just using you as an example.
I was waiting for one of them to go charging in.
Yeah. So, there we go, buddy. There's full plate. Boink. On your character. Care to put it on?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Why does it say level 2? Joe? I'm afraid I might have done something terrible.
Wait. Are there level requirements for gear in this?
It says heavy armor, split mail level 1, half plate level 1, full plate level 2. Level 2 of what? Wearing armor? Are you trained in... Are you trained in heavy armor?
All armor.
Yeah.
So, sorry, what was the question?
I'm looking in armor. I want to give them some generic full plate.
All right.
All the armors, I'm not talking magical armor, it's just all the armors are listed here thanks to, once again, thank you to the people at Fantasy Grounds for sponsoring us and giving us a core rulebook that we can use directly in Fantasy Grounds. No armor, explorers, clothing, padded armor, all the way down the list to medium, heavy armor, split mail. And then in brackets it says level 1.
Okay.
It says it's composite and clumsy. Then it says half plate, level 1. It says plate. And then it says full plate, level 2. And in description it says plate and it says traits, bulwark.
Oh, okay. So you want...
I'd like you to look get on that.
I will.
We can continue on. You get on that right now. We need to know if he needs to be level 2 something or level 2 trained to wear this. Anyway.
Age 274.
Yeah. So if you want to click on this full plate, Frank, are you actually wearing armor? I don't even see anything.
Oh, I just deleted scale because I was swapping armor out.
Oh, well, you still have it.
Could have sold that.
Yeah. Do you
I can't carry it. It puts
you
me over
on the ground.
No, but I'm saying if anybody wants to pick it up.
Well, somebody else can pick it up.
Yeah.
I'll pick it up.
Okay. So
just leave it right here.
So
hang it on the rack.
Carry it out to the door. Scream it, Warble.
And his armor class goes up to 20.
Come get this. Put it with our stuff.
+6 armor, and it takes him up to 20.
Oh, yeah. Level 1. AC 20.
I'm a tank.
All right.
You can only move 10 feet at a time, but you're a tank.
Yeah, we're going to assume that this does something to your movement. 20 probably becomes 15. What does Bulwark, the trait, do in armor?
It's 10. Knocks him to 10 feet.
It's a bulwark trait in your armor.
Yeah.
On reflex saves to avoid a damaging effect, such as a fireball, you add a +3 modifier instead of your dexterity modifier.
It just keeps getting better and better.
He wants to join the Hell Knights.
Because that's what you're doing. Bulwark. You're like, you just grunt and bear it instead of trying to dodge it.
You're not going to jump out of the way. You're just going to like shrink down and close the gaps in your armor and suck it up.
I have a question
for you.
Going
full turtle.
Frank?
Question. You're supposed to be telling us answers, Joe.
I know, but as I'm reading about everything, what is your strength there, Mr. Frank?
18.
Okay.
He's good. We can assume that.
Because armor has a strength requirement. If you do not meet the requirement, you get the penalty.
Oh, no.
That makes so much sense. That's a great rule.
Yeah, so for full plate, you need a strength of 18 to wear it properly. If not, you take a -10 speed penalty.
So you don't take the...
Oh!
As long as you need the requirement.
Prop. Very nice.
I'm still looking at this level 2 prop, though.
Oh, my God. So he can still charge? Oh,
that's
genius.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not played Book 1 of Hell Knight Hill, get rid of the armor. Come on, dogs you can front door, awesome treasure, and dogs you can feed. I think they're compensating for something that might be coming.
If I know Pathfinder at all, and I do, I'm going to open that door and die.
The door is electrified.
It's the Hell Knight Messiah. He's returned to us. So speaking of doors, you guys, it says a good 10 minutes, then you put it on. So let's say you guys burn 20 minutes.
Yep.
Burn.
Chuck the
scandal
out the door, yell at Warble to come grab it.
Invested. Desna. Can I? Desna. Sorry. Wow. Cleric of Desna.
What an upgrade.
Miss Mara.
Yes.
Can I have a knowledge nature check?
Yes.
Because you are offering them, you know.
Okay, but I do have to... verify that speed penalty.
Yep.
Sorry, I was looking at other ones. If you do meet the strength requirement, you reduce the penalty by 5 feet. So full plate has a penalty of 10, -10. So thus you get a penalty of -5.
Okay, so what is dwarven speed? Like right now it's like 20, isn't it? Halfling is 25?
Yes.
Okay, so 15. you're down to 15 feet there, chug along.
Worth it, totally worth it.
Worth it.
We'll slow our movement down, no problem.
Okay.
I got a nature check of 8.
Okay. They're wary of the dwarven's helmet. You just kind of leave, you know what I mean? Like, they don't go for it right away recognizing its food.
That's fine. It's here. And if they're thirsty, they'll drink.
Yeah. It's actually tainting the water. The smell of Odithioan. You know, you pour water in there. It's just like
Odithioan.
Oh.
That makes you stronger.
Awesome. No, this alcohol comes out of his sweat. Like, the helmet smells like ale.
Yeah,
well,
we are
spirits.
All being alcoholics.
Yeah. We're all raving.
Well, I'm sure if they're thirsty enough, they'll drink.
Yeah, you leave it where they can see it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So, what do you guys want to do now?
I think we're going to confidently march to my doom. Let's open door number one.
Door, what's
behind you?
What's behind door number one? All right. Get in there.
I'll take 2 movement actions. And then a third to open the door.
Speaking of Reddit, I have a request for the fandom. I've been trying to put this together myself, but you know what? I will reward even an amateur. If you guys know the Charlie's Angels silhouette from the old 70s show, Charlie's Angels, look it up. Right? They've got girl in karate pose, 70s girl on a radio. No, it's not a long sniper pistol. It's a radio. And then girl with a 38. And I want to have... Miros with a mug, a fist, an arm on the silhouette. I want to have Theon in the middle with the big horned helmet, you know, and the axe. And then we got Al on the side, you know, with the staff and the pointy hat and a big sort of butterfly Desna behind. And then that mysterious hero, the big Star Wars looming emperor shot is a silhouette of, you know, an epic looking helmet. Somebody pull this off. We will pay cash because it would cost me money anyway. To do it properly, make it the show's logo. Anyway, moving on. How we do it in the chat there, Rob? Does anyone have any questions for us? Does anyone, you know?
Actually, one of the nice guys in the chat just sent us a clarification about the armor level, which I pasted to Joe already.
Okay.
Don't have a lot of people in.
Paste to everyone. Let's put it up in Zoom chat so the DM learns too.
Oh, I was given a chance for Joe to show off.
Hold on.
Yes, because sadly enough, I just
Joel. We believe random guy number chat 467 over you,
which is awesome. That's totally awesome. No, it's just because the only thing I can understand with armor level is for crafting.
Yeah,
right? You have to be whatever level to craft.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Well, there's also a level 2 object as far as treasure, so it's like this is something you should not give to first level people.
Yeah,
too late.
Even though it's the first thing in the room, and yeah. but you know what? It's not sitting there. You guys have to come up with the idea going, can I rip this place apart and build it? So maybe that's what, you know what I mean? It's not, there's not like one suit of full plate going, oh, take me, feed a dog. You know, someone has to be smart enough to go, really want this armor. Everyone kept talking about the armor, but finally Thielen went, can I just like really get into this armor and piece it together? It's like, well, yes, the DM can't lie. It's written right here on the page. So
I just have
that sweet picture.
I'm going to take a good handful of my rations, a couple days worth, and I'll divvy them out to the dogs again before we go. Give them a little pile each.
Okay.
And so I have a question for you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Delvin. We do appreciate comments. Nice ones to help us. Thank you, sir. And yes, Joe, your question.
Because it is a level 2 treasure, is it broken condition or is it
normal? It says it's worn. It says it's mismatched. Worn and style is outdated. That's exactly what it says.
Oh, but not broken.
Congrats. That's awesome.
So, looks like crap. Not fooling a real Hail Knight. Enjoy your +2 to the peasants at home going, all right, we've returned. You know, that type of thing. It's cool. What I like about this treasure is they're thinking about the setting. I mean, there's the generic, here's your loot +2 armor. Oh, great. Blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's Hail Knight armor. It suits the setting. It's here. You know what I mean? So they're allowing it. And that's what I think is really cool. So
pay attention when you go back to town.
Yeah,
scare the hell out of them.
I think there'll be ruckus laughter personally.